The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Do you need to have every aspect of biblical theology nailed down in order to be saved? And can those from various denominations, traditions, or theological positions be born again? Hello, friend. Glad you've joined us today. This is Grace in Focus, a radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're glad that you're joining us today, and we invite you to come to our website, faithalone.org, to know more about us. There you will find many articles we've written for your reference and study. Also, we have a bookstore where you can find Bob Wilkins' latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege, and many other aspects to this website. Take a look at it, faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. I have a question from the land down under.
All right.
From Australia. Peter in Australia says, I have come to the free grace position after a lot of reading, reflection, prayer, and scripture searching. That is a great testimony, right?
Yeah, that's the way you want to come to the free grace position.
Right.
Yeah, amen to that. Well, that's wonderful to hear, Peter.
Yeah, it's not because my parents held the free grace position, or it's not because you would just, you know, you think this would be a nice position. It's because you've prayed about it, you've studied the scriptures, you've come to the conclusion. But then he says he has a dilemma, and he says, does the believer need the right theology and the church, too? Now, what he's talking about is, and I skipped the previous question, he says, if anybody believes sincerely in Jesus for their salvation, John 3:16, how can John MacArthur speak negatively of Catholics or Anglicans or Benny Hinn or a whole bunch of other quote-unquote Christians and say that they're headed to the lake of fire? And that's when he says, does the believer need the right theology and church too? He says, even, and he mentions a specific denomination, believes the basics, how can anyone be expected to know which is right in church theology? And I like your question, Peter, and I would say, no, a person doesn't need to have every aspect of theology right. But he does need to get John 3:16 right.
Right.
Or the theology of John 3:16.
And even with that, he's needed to get that right at one time in his life, right? He doesn't need to get that right forever.
And he doesn't even need to understand and believe every single word in John 3:16. Right. I just did a blog. You can go to faithalone.org. Mm-hmm. And I asked the question, does a person need to believe every word in John 3:16? And the truth is, there are parts of that that are not essential. The essential parts are what we find repeated all through John's gospel, that whoever believes in Jesus Christ has everlasting life that can never be lost. They're never going to perish. They're never going to hunger. They're never going to thirst. They're never going to die. John 4:10 says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give him a drink, you'd ask him and he'd give you living water that would forever quench your thirst. And the gift of God, the Lord Jesus went on in verse 14 to say, was everlasting life. And the giver of the gift is Messiah. He went on in verses 24 to 26 to say, I'm the Messiah. And she came to faith. The woman at the well came to faith.
And the living water there is the saving truth, the saving message.
It's the saving message that Jesus is the giver of everlasting life that can never be lost.
To everyone who believes in him.
So, Peter, in answer to your question, can an Anglican be born again? Sure. Can a Catholic be born again? Sure. Can a Seventh-day Adventist be born again? Sure. Can someone from any particular denomination or group be born again? Sure. But in order to do so, they need to believe the promise of everlasting life to the believer. If you look at the theology of those churches I just mentioned, their theology is inconsistent with that. But is it possible for someone to believe something contrary to their tradition? Of course it is.
Yeah, it's possible for them to be sitting there in the pew. They hear John 3:16 being read, And like you, they pray about it. And, hey, I believe that.
Yeah.
Regardless of all the other fuzz or contradictions that are being taught, maybe they put that out of their mind and they focus on God's word and believe the truth of John 3:16.
Yeah. Now, I know, and we have a friend, John Niemela, he makes that point that throughout church history, you always had verses from John's gospel read in the public reading in the Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church, and so people could have come to faith. And my answer would be yes, but I think that was probably exceedingly rare because they were steeped in a context that was work salvation. It could happen, yeah. But it's going to be like you described, where they pray about it, they think about it, and then over time they come around. But I think the more normal position is what's described in Romans 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? They need a preacher to preach the word of God. So they need someone, and that preacher could be a friend, it could be their parent, it could be a brother, a sister, a loved one, it could be anybody, but the Roman Catholic, the Eastern Orthodox, the Seventh-day Adventist, the Anglican, if they have some friend that tells them the message of John 3:16 and they pray about it and believe it, then they're born again. And whether they leave those churches or not. So, Peter, it's a great question, but the simple answer is they need to get the core truth right. You say, is God picky? Of course he's picky. Jesus said in John 5:39 and 40, to legalistic Jews who thought they could be saved by keeping the Old Testament law, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. And in John's gospel, coming to Jesus is believing in him. They were not willing to believe in him for life.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
They were not willing to believe in him for life because they thought life was about keeping the commandments. So it's important, I think, Peter, that we recognize there is a core truth. There is a bullseye.
Yeah.
And we need to believe that. Now, we don't necessarily need to believe in a pre-trib rapture. We don't necessarily need to believe in the millennium. We don't necessarily need to be Trinitarian even. We've talked about that on other shows. What we need to believe is that the Lord Jesus Christ gives me everlasting life simply because I believe in him for it.
Yeah, it seems like if you're at a church where this message is being proclaimed and taught clearly and preached, obviously it seems like a higher proportion of the congregation is going to be believing that.
Exactly.
And have eternal life. But if you're at a church where it's a lot of work salvation messages being taught, maybe some, probably much more few people who come to faith and believe Jesus for his promise of everlasting life. So, you know, obviously it's more healthy for someone to be in a church where they're hearing this message, what the Bible teaches, and not being taught something else that's going to take them away and deceive them, take their eyes off the promise.
Exactly. So my encouragement would be, mom and dad, get your children going to a solid Bible church while they're growing up and get them used to being in the worship service. Mm-hmm. I think this trend where children can go to age 12 or 14 or even 18 without ever going to the adult church and they're not hearing sermons is a bad idea because when they go off to college, they're not used to going to hear the sermon. So plug them into a solid Bible teaching church and get them committed to the fact that this is what I'm going to need when I go out and start my own family or even before I start my own family and I'm living on my own. We need to inculcate in our children the idea that our spiritual growth comes through the Word of God.
Yeah. Get back to Peter's question a little bit. You know, he talked about how can John MacArthur say all these people aren't saved? But we actually have an issue with John MacArthur in the sense that he's basically questioning their salvation based on how they behave, not on what these people believe.
Good point. Yeah, in my opinion, John MacArthur is proclaiming a false gospel. He's proclaiming what we call lordship salvation, or what people call lordship salvation. That is, you cannot be born again unless you turn from your sins, commit your life to Christ, make him Lord of your life, and begin to follow him. And then you follow through on the following. For the rest of your life, you persevere in the life of obedience. And so MacArthur would question these other groups because, like you say, he's looking at their works. Now, Dr. MacArthur does think there is some doctrine you need to believe, right? Yeah. There's some core truths you need to believe. Yeah. And he would add some truths that I wouldn't. For example, I'm pretty sure he would say you need to believe in the Trinity and you must be convinced that Jesus is the second member of the Trinity. And he would probably add in a number of other things. But he would not add in that you need to believe that by faith in him, you're secure forever. Mm-hmm. Because in his view, that's not something we can be sure of. Because you're always wondering, am I the real deal?
Right.
And you're always looking at your work. So I think that's a problem, Peter, in what you're saying, in the sense that the reason we would question these various groups is their doctrine, not their behavior.
Yeah, it's what they believe, not how they behave.
And it's not even whether they're conservative. A lot of these groups may be fairly liberal politically, or they may be fairly liberal religiously,
yeah.
Right? They don't have a high view of the Bible.
Yeah.
That, again, is not the whole issue.
Yeah.
The issue is the bullseye. Do I believe in Jesus for what he promises? And on that, the scriptures are very clear that God is precise on that. We do need to believe the right message. We can't just say, as long as you have a warm, fuzzy feeling about Jesus, you're going to spend eternity with him.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a nice person.
The question is, do you believe Jesus for the gift he gives? Do you believe in him for everlasting life?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the gift of God, that occurs in John 4:10. It also occurs in Ephesians 2:8-9, a verse the Lord used with both of us
right. To
come to faith. It's called the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be going the way John MacArthur prescribes is, let's look at other people's works. What do they believe about the saving message? Do they believe it true, or do they doubt that this is true?
In fact, they talk about counting the cost of discipleship, which they say is counting the cost to be born again.
Right.
There is no cost to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's free to us. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his life.
Yeah.
He shed his blood for us. But Revelation 22:17, the last basically evangelistic verse in the New Testament, says, let him take the water of life freely. That word freely means without cost or as a free gift. So great question. I hope you will think about what is that core essential truth that must be believed in order to be born again.
Pray about it, study the scriptures, and ask God for answers.
Amen.
Amen. And let's all
keep grace
in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to GES@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, please join us as we think about John 8:12, believing in Christ versus following Christ. We look forward to it. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.